Hey guys, man, it's so good to be with you. And I was first going to say, thanks for being patient with us. Justin and I do our best to get to any questions or comments that you direct directly to us in the app. But just know that our church email boxes are also full, and Theocast box, I don't even know what to do with that. But we do give you guys priority as much as we possibly can, because we're so thankful for what you do.
And every now and then I know I go through my DMs, and sometimes one will get open that I don't realize I haven't responded to, and I'll go back and maybe weeks later. So just if that ever happens, just give us grace. And we value each of you, and we're really grateful for the sweet community the Lord's cultivating on the SR app. I am.
It is. Yeah. So
the spirit is great.
Almost, what, 500 people in there? And yeah. Man, it's just, it's a really sweet place. So we just
and
thank
it seems to be a safe space, which is good. And I mean that not in the therapeutic way. I mean that.
Yeah, safe way. To ask questions, all that kind of stuff.
Correct. And you're not going to get lambasted.
Yeah. Now, Justin, this particular subject is super sensitive, man. I felt like we kind of towed the line and we stayed away from any, you know, I think shock jock stuff, which is, you know, sure. The title is a little bit, but it's still fun.
Yeah, it's still fun.
But man, this is very complicated. I mean, you and I would say this is not an understatement. You and I would die for God's word. I mean, we love God's word. We would not in any shape or form want to ever go without a constant feeding on his word. I mean, this is what we're commanded to do, right?
Yep.
So, man, there's a deep affection there. Sometimes people think that we don't take serious the God's word. And that's the very thing we're trying to do. Is like, hey, if you do believe that God's word is powerful, if obeyed properly, then we have to ask the question, are we obeying it properly? Or have we been influenced by Eastern mysticism, revivalism, and Roman Catholicism? And I would say yes to all three of those. Yeah. And this is why we're trying to graciously push back and say some of the acceptable habits that have been handed to Christians as this is what a mature Christian does. It's not necessarily 100% accurate. There's some nuance that I think we need to have. So I wanted to have a little bit more of a nuanced conversation about personal Bible reading and church, because I know there's like this weird draw where some people are, you know, they're like, I just give up on it altogether. And then that sounds like antinomianism. And you know what I mean? Like there's this just weird. And so this is kind of why we wanted to have this conversation, to say, hey, let the word of God speak. And then we can apply from that moment. But it doesn't sound like the word of God is speaking in some of these conversations that I've been having. It sounds more like pietism is speaking. And I'm like, you can't make those applications if they're not in the text. And I'm not trying to be a biblicist either, right?
So what are you getting at pointedly? Because I could go any number of directions with this.
Yeah, what I'm trying to get at pointedly is that there are people who absolutely feel guilty and shamed because they don't have some kind of a habitual act. You know, I'll be frank. I spend a lot of time, as part of what I do is my requirement as a pastor. I spend a lot of time in God's word. I definitely spend a lot of time in prayer, because I'm moving from one scenario to the next, and I'm asking God for grace and mercy, and I'm praying for wisdom for those people. And so, you know, as part of my responsibility given to me by the church, is I do spend the majority of my time in God's word. This is kind of my responsibility. I mean, literally Paul says, hey, free the elders so they can spend their time in the word and prayer.
Right.
Right. Because what am I to do? I am to bring a feast every Sunday. Right. So, but somehow we have created that everyone is a pastor now, right? Everybody has the obligation and responsibilities to be dedicating themselves to the constant perpetual reading of God's word for the sake of building themselves up. And I'm like, man, I kind of find the wisdom of Paul and God in saying that you have people. I mean, we live very complicated, difficult lives. And back then, not everybody had a full copy of God's word. Right. So, being able to compare scripture
and bro,
scripture.
People were engaged in labor for the majority of their day. And
it wasn't very many desk jobs.
meeting basic needs was a big deal. And all of that. There was not much discretionary time.
No, you didn't have refrigeration back then.
That people would have had throughout the history of the church.
No.
So that needs to be observed.
Yeah.
So the majority of people who were laborers, who had a different vocation, who were not clergymen, would absolutely have been getting their understanding of God's word through the church, because they would not have had time to invest in personal study. I mean, up until recent history, reading and studying was considered leisure.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't talk in those terms. We talk about reading and study as work, and I understand why we do. But it's important that we understand some of this stuff, and I do think it's relevant to the conversation we're having today. And so I'm in agreement that we should recalibrate the way that we think about these things. I mean, John, like you said, you and I are vocationally employed in the ministry, and in one sense, it's God's kindness to us that we get to spend so much time studying the Word and praying and studying theology because we've been set apart to do this work.
Yeah.
My mentor in the faith, I mean, Mark Dever, I mean, he back in the day used to say that God, he would just kind of be saying this to whatever, unsettle people, or he would just say, yeah, God knew that I wasn't a strong enough Christian to not be a pastor. You know, meaning like the Lord knew that I needed to have a job where I was immersed in this all the time. Right. And that was one of the things that he would say,
right,
you know, about it, just to say, look, like, we're not superheroes. I mean, we're set apart to do this work, but, you know, maybe perhaps it's because of a weakness in me. And yeah, maybe I'm gifted in this way, but perhaps, you know, I would really struggle if I wasn't a pastor. And I mean, who knows, right? So yeah, our situation is not what other people go through and have, uh-uh, right? And so I think what I would want, if I'm just going to talk frank about some of these things, growth in the faith, I mean, we talk regularly about the ordinary means of grace, and I don't need to pound that desk again.
Right.
The means of grace in the gathered church is where it's at. Life in the fellowship of the saints is where it's at. When it comes to your private devotional life, what I want people to see is several things. One, first of all, you're free. Mm-hmm. And in that regard, do what seems good to you. And if you're profiting from something, keep doing it. Mm-hmm. If you're not, if it's riddling you with guilt and you just can't seem to handle it right now without becoming super legalistic about Bible reading or prayer, pump the brakes, mm-hmm, and figure out a different rhythm. You have freedom in Christ to do that.
That's right.
And yeah, I mean, be creative in how you consume content. You know, if you can listen on audio, or if you can do, like, we need to just get over ourselves a little bit in terms of the right way or the wrong way to do these things. Mm-hmm. And do it from a perspective, not only of freedom, but realize that there's grace and there's joy and there's gratitude that drives this thing. And then I would say this, when it comes to studying the scriptures or learning theology, if you're not doing it in the context of a healthy local church where you're sitting under good preaching, I'm concerned for you, mm-hmm, because the way that you learn to study the Bible profitably is by sitting under the exposition of God's word week in and week out that's teaching you things like the distinction between the law and the gospel, that's teaching you covenant theology, that's teaching you a Christ-centered hermeneutic, so that you're not going to then go to the scripture and be like, I don't have any clue what I'm reading. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the Ethiopian in Acts 8. You know, he's reading Isaiah 53 and Philip comes over to him and he's like, hey, you know, basically, is this profitable for you? Are you understanding what you're reading? And he's just like, basically, no, I need somebody to explain it to me.
That's good.
You know, and then Philip does, and the dude is converted and baptized, right? I mean, so it's the same with us. I mean, we, with our Bibles, we've mystified this thing, like you said, and we've taken things out of context, you know, like the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth or whatever. And we just assume that we can go off with our Bible somewhere and understand everything perfectly. I do believe that the main things of scripture are very plain. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I trust the Lord that he was serious and intentional when he gave gifts to the church in the form of pastors and teachers, and we need that. Mm-hmm. So I trust Bible reading and those kinds of things a lot more when people have gotten over the cage stage of being confessional, mm-hmm, you know, where they literally at first are just like, man, bump this, I'm done with all of it, and I just, you know, I'm never going to read anything again. It's like you'll calm down and you'll come back to equilibrium and everything's going to be fine. And the church has you, we're here. So when you get through that, you know, and you're like, yeah, I want to learn and I want to study on my own, great. You're going to do the same thing that you used to do probably, but for different reasons. And now
it'll,
you're going
probably
to be
more beneficial too.
It's going to be more beneficial for you too, because you're actually learning some doctrine, mm-hmm, and you're being given some tools with which you can study the Bible in a more profitable manner.
Yeah, I'll give it.
So
Theocast is a good example where we are part of the broader church. We're part of the global, you know, Catholic,
the universal church.
Church,
the invisible church, whatever. Yeah.
And so God, by means of his gracious and kindness, has used Theocast to encourage a lot of you, right?
Sure.
But the hard part about it is that because we aren't the local church, there's limitations to our capacities of helping you. So we can help you in encouraging you to rest in Christ and to find right doctrine, you know, to understand the word of God appropriately. But that part about Ephesians where it says when the body functions properly, it builds itself up in love. Like that part's going to be lacking in your life. And it's a very important part for because sure. the local church is where you find accountability, find joy, find acceptability. So in many ways, you know, sometimes people are like, well, I'm listening to you guys right now and I'm being helped. And I'm like, man, I agree. And I have been, every time I study God's word, I'm benefited by the Catholic Church, meaning that Amen. The global universal church. Right? The writings of the confessions, the writings of different Amen. Commentaries, of different men, you know, my encouragement of my brothers in ministry with the elders. But it's more of the whole point of the podcast was, you know, what does it mean to be mature in Christ, to be in the full stature of Christ. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of like anything in life. You know, if someone wants to be healthy and they, you know, if they only work out, but they eat the garbage, then, you know, they may have some muscles, but they're going to be completely, you know, like there's a both and to everything in life. And I think it's important for us to embrace that where it, even more so when it comes to scripture. So going back to what you said, Justin, and I kind of want to add to that, like what's interesting is I engage in God's word because of my responsibility to the congregation, mm-hmm. right? And I find exactly. great hope and joy in it.
Yep.
But I can't think of a time where I come into the word of God and I think to myself, I just want to spend time alone with me and God. Like, I just don't have that mentality.
I don't, if I can briefly interject, like when I study God's word to preach it, I do that with the congregation in mind. I do that with myself in mind as a part of the congregation as well. But I find it to be very edifying, very devotional. But I find it to be that because I'm seeing law and gospel and I'm seeing Christ in the scripture for us.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and
for
I'm
us
sure,
as a church.
Yeah. And I'm thinking you're probably thinking the same thing I am. Oh, this is going to, help. This is going to help us so much.
This is
going to
edify the saints. Yeah. This is going to confirm us in the faith.
Up, yeah.
It's going to build us up. This is going to comfort us in Christ.
Right. You know, the stronger they are, the more benefit it is to me, right?
Yeah.
The more I'm going to know of Christ because it literally says that we're all built up into love. So I just want to encourage people.
So even our Bible study, John, is what you're saying is we're doing that even with a corporate lens on it.
Yeah.
And it's more meaningful.
Yeah. And the only personal side to my faith that I have is that I live in constant dependence upon the Father for my salvation and for my sanctification and mm-hmm. for my loving of one another. It's like I'm always asking Amen. For mercy and grace and wisdom. I'm asking for guidance. I'm casting my anxiety on him. Like that's the personal side of my relationship right. with the Father. And that, I mean, I love the fact that he says, hey, you're my child and you have access to me at any time. And when you're worried about what you're going to bring to me, the priest, he's very sympathetic. He knows how your struggles are. So just come on in with boldness.
And he's given you his own clothes to wear.
That's right.
It's going to be okay.
So just come on in and cast your anxieties on me. And if you've got something excited, just sing praises to me. So that part of it, I understand. And I embrace that. And I don't have like a time where I have to do that. It's just, it's ever before me. One of my favorite parts of the week, midweek. Like I love, I always get to hear the elders pray on Sunday mornings, get to hear the congregation sing. We have men's and women's Bible study. I get to hear the men discuss God's word and pray. And then Wednesday mornings, I don't know why it is, but I so look forward to either praying for Justin or having Justin pray for me. And I can hear him because, there's a wonderful joy. I don't know how to explain it within the bond of Christ people mm-hmm. that like James says, pray for one another, that you might be healed, right? There's mm-hmm. a healing nature. Like this morning, Justin was praying for our sins. He was praying for our faith. He was praying for our wisdom. And man, I'm sitting there and I'm not going to lie. I had like this experience. I was like, man, it's so good to know that God's going to give us those gifts today. And like, it just invigorated me. It's, man,
well, brother,
so
I trust you. You know, I've said this before. I'm always more helped and moved by the prayers of others than I am my own.
Yeah.
And there's something to that because, like you said, it's the bond of fellowship we have in Christ. And when we intercede for one another, it's meaningful.
Yeah.
And the Lord uses that, you know, it's part of his goodness to us. And the design of this whole thing is that we need each other in various ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So so all of this to say that I think the Christian life is very simple
Agreed.
When it's focused on the pragmatism, right? When it's focused on what really works, it's like, hey, listen, these other things, they can be helpful, but don't put your hope in them. Right. Don't put your priority in them. So I'll say this, Justin, it still breaks my heart. I'm still shepherding people in my church. Man, they do not prioritize. A lot of people do not prioritize the gathered church around the word. And it's heartbreaking. Because then they text me and they're like, hey, I need to come talk to you. I'm just spiritually dry. And what can I do? And I'm like, dude, show up. up.
Brother, I could talk for a long time. Without fail, man. Yeah. Some of the people that are on the margins in our congregation, I mean, there are very few of the people that are really on the margins in our congregation who show up regularly to corporate worship. People who are gone consistently, or they're just consistently inconsistent in their attendance, those are the people that can be in your church for years and not really grow. And they're still floundering around and just not we all struggle with the same things the rest of our lives. I don't mean that. But for people that faithfully show up to corporate worship, like you said, there is some proof in the pudding legitimately where they grow, like we grow together because we're together on the Lord's day and we live life together. That's right. If you do not show up, and if you do not participate in the means of grace that God has given you, how then would you expect that you would grow? Just magically, mystically? You know, no. It's like you neglect the means where the Spirit does his ministry amongst the saints. Don't be surprised that you're then looking around like, why am I not growing? Why am I struggling?
That's good.
And anyway, man, I agree with what you just said. And I am always burdened. I'm as burdened over this issue as I am anything consistently as a pastor. And there are a few people that I just like, oh my gosh, like if I could just, like literally, if we need to send people to your house on Sunday to just bring you, I don't care what you're wearing. I don't care how much of a disaster show you think your family is this morning. Just come.
That's right.
Please.
That's right.
And show up every week show up every week for months and years. Mm-hmm. And let's see what that'll do. That's anyway.
So good. Hey, well, just so you know, almost 50 to 48 weeks a year, Justin and I record at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern. So if you want to pray for us, we would covet your prayers.
Sure.
We might somehow implement some kind of a way for us to interact with you guys in the future, but I'm always nervous about doing things and messing up our schedule, but who knows what that
Well, and right now, to be honest, I mean, we're just both very busy and we're trying to make sure that we keep producing weekly podcast content.
That is meaningful.
That's the main goal.
Yeah.
And if we're achieving that, anything else is kind of gravy.
Hey, because you guys are giving, man, we've been able to hire a really powerful team and it's growing and it's just allowing Justin.
I think we're both hopeful for the future. And I think we both as pastors and as Theocast hosts, et cetera, we're having good conversations with our elders and our wives and friends about how to best steward our time and and use our time well. So pray for us to have wisdom even in that.
Yep.
Because we do want to be able to invest in Theocast and see this thing grow and all of that. But we are not omnicompetent guys, and we also have limited bandwidth and we have frailties. So pray for us.
And growing churches.
Churches, all these things.
All right, guys.
We're grateful for you.
Speaking of, we have other meetings we got to get to today. Hey, in the Lord, I don't know all of you, but I am thankful for you. And because you're in Christ, I do have a godly love for you. Mm-hmm. And I do pray that one day soon I get to meet all of you and I get to embrace you in the Lord. So we'll see you next week.